Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This program is for Sunday, June the 14th, 2015, and I'm very grateful to be with you as we take a look at some really big questions on everyone's favorite subject. Yeah, money. It's all about the money. I get more questions about money and death than any other topics. And for the most part, money and death play a really big, big, big role in our lives. So I thought it would be apropos. I didn't put them together. I get so many questions on money. I just gathered some up that I thought were rather provocative or different. And I hope that you find them helpful. This radio program, yes, is supported. Money. Money, yes. Dun, 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 dun. Remember the Beatles? Money. Anyway, money. It's money that makes this program possible. Your donations, your tax-deductible gifts go to help me pay for this airtime and everything that happens here on our website at aspire.org. I hope you understand that. Our mystery donor has given us enough money to go to the end of the year. But he's doing this, hopefully, as an inspiration to those of you who listen to this radio program to become sponsors and help us keep this offering on the air that I call Satsang. So please become a sponsor. Do something kind for the world, really, and for yourself. It's a bigger picture than you may think. Let's get into it. Jess. Who does not tell me where he lives. I have listened to you for many years and watched you on TV for many years, so he's probably in San Diego. I have a question for you. What is money? How should it be used? And I want you to know I'm really into it. I like the power of money. Jess. Jess, there is no real power in money. Not when you're manipulating people, that is. If you're going to use money to manipulate people or circumstances in a way which comforts you, makes you feel maybe more powerful or secure, then so be it. That is the way it will be for you. It's not a healthy thing. It's the way most people live it. And it is only through money that most people believe that they have any sense of, you know, control over their own life. And that's partly why money is so very important to so many, because it appears to be, to them, control over their lives. It is not. And I'm going to get into it a little deeper here in a moment. You say, what is money? So let's go to that. Well, if you're looking at money from a worldly standpoint, it has something to do with exchange, supposedly fair market or value exchanged. And that's how it's basically defined, but I disagree. Money is the conveyor belt of my energy. This conveyor belt is moving constantly around and around and around. The amounts of energy I put on that conveyor belt is exactly how money will be to me. If I put fear and hate on that conveyor belt, the money, which is the conveyor belt itself, will just rotate and continue to bring to me that which I am putting on the conveyor belt. So, you have to look at money, one of the ways I would look at it, as a patsy. It's a patsy for my energy, what I've achieved in my life. Most people think that if they have achieved a great wealth, large sums of money that turn into something they call wealth, that they have much to be proud of, much to look at their life at and say, I have achieved this, so I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I can only do what, you know, pleases me, pleasures me. I have friends and students who have way too much money, way too much. And in having that gross amount of money, not proportional to their heart at all, they suffer grievously. And so in their suffering, they think to themselves, I don't have enough money. And if I have more money, I won't suffer. And then they make more money. And then they suffer further, deeper, longer. I have students who have a poverty mentality. They don't think they deserve money. Okay? And they go out and they work really hard and they just don't make enough money. So they have to work harder. And they barely make ends meet. And that's because of what they believe in about themselves. It's what they put on that conveyor belt. And they put it on in the form of their energy, the undeserving, the fearfulness, the inability to deal with life as it is and be loving, kind, and generous. And they put that energy of fear and hate on that conveyor belt, and it goes around, and then it comes back and around and comes back. And they blame the conveyor belt. Well, it keeps bringing me the same old stuff. They never think of what they're putting on the conveyor belt. They never think of it. You mean my energy denotes the amounts? Well, how do I get emotionally psyched up? This is what I hear. To put more energy on that conveyor belt so I have more money. And that whole attitude just depletes everything. It just depletes everything. It takes away everything you ever had. And you'll miss the whole thing. Now, there are different forms of energy you can put on there. You can put the energy of the world on it. The energy of hate and fear. The amounts of money are not the point. Although everyone thinks it is. It's the quality of your consciousness about money that makes it so valuable. You ask me, what is money? Money is the conveyor belt that depicts human love, human affection, human fear, humanness in general. And it does not allow there to be very much creativity and beauty when it's used that way, when I use it in that fashion. You ask me, how should it be used? Money is there to serve humankind. Money is there to serve every part of humankind. There is no one who is undeserving of that experience of being served. This means that at times, actually, you write a check or you give cash to people in order to help them. And at other times, you do other things with money in order to help them, buy them food or help them with a bill or something. This is not something that is popular. No one teaches us very much about money, do they? They just don't teach us. I was never taught about money. My father did say to me, Greg, when I was a kid, don't be afraid of money. You use money, he would say. Don't let it use you. Those are very wise words, and they sunk in to me. To me, money is a tool to serve humankind, to help people. That's all it's about. It feeds me. It clothes me. It houses me. It transports me. But that's it. The only thing that really matters is the heart. I'll tell you what's at the core of the whole thing. You say, how should it be used? The core of money is to keep it circulating, is to keep it moving. It is to keep it moving in a way that serves humankind. So that means when you're sitting there at dinner or at lunch or whatever, and it comes time to pay the bill, you are paying the farmer, the cook, the trucker, the people who made your napkins, the silverware, as well as the person who owns the restaurant. You're paying a lot to serve humankind. And you do it not with amounts, but with your heart. And then when it comes time to tip the waiter or the waitress, you are adding to their life. You are helping them raise their children. You are adding love into their livingness. And if you give that tip in love, in loving kindness and gratitude and humility, it will go to serve and it will find its rightful place to those who need it. You don't need to worry about it. It will find its rightful place. And it will be given in the manner of love, and it will be received in the manner of love also. And if you don't understand this, you miss the whole thing about money. So, Jess, you say, I'm into money. That's very sad. You should be into love. I would rather have you in the process of what money can do, not money itself. Money is never the object, dude. Never. It's the energy I put into money that is the object of the game. And if I put gratitude, humility, kindness, service to humankind, helping those who need help, and giving and allowing the money to find its perfect place in our lifetime, in other people's lifetime, you have done very well. Now your money is more than money. You never spend it. You give it. It becomes beautiful. It becomes a garden of many different flowers. Many different. And the seeds of those flowers go to spread to other areas until life is a garden. I lived with a man, a master, for many years who was not afraid of money. And he was the most interesting human being about money I've ever seen. He could have cared less about it, and he had so much of it. And he just spread it around and spread it around and spread it. And the more he did it, spreading it around, the more it came back. I learned so much from that. I'm still learning. That's where I am with it now, Jess. I hope it helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. The next question comes from Robert. Why do some people have money and others do not? What's the thing here, Robert? He doesn't tell me where he lives. Robert, it isn't those who have and those who don't have. It isn't about that. I'll tell you what I hear a lot in the counseling room. I hear a lot of, well, this is what I deserve. I don't deserve this and I don't deserve that. Or I do deserve this and I don't deserve that. That's what I hear a lot of. And that's just not the fact. If you want to get the American public, you know, capture them and manipulate the hell out of them, you tell them what they deserve. I was listening to ESPN the other day, and I'm driving along, and you deserve a trip to Las Vegas. You deserve to have this Vegas trip. Why, you've been working really hard, and Vegas is the, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, really? What if they had a commercial that went on like this? You deserve to give. You deserve the right to give your money to serve humankind and to help people along. People you may never meet. People you may never know. But your money is going to go and seep into the lives of those like a parched desert. And you're going to help as many people as can possibly be helped through the gift of your money. I don't think that would go over very well. And I doubt if there would be any takers on it. But boy, would it be interesting to me to have that kind of commercial. I would personally love to see that, but you know me, what do I know? So you ask me, why do some have it and some don't? It's their karma. some people can have money and it doesn't really help them at all. Not at all. Doesn't help them understand the nature of it. They don't understand any part of it. They have money, but they don't really get that they have money. They squander it and probably, you know, spend too much of it in stupid areas of their own life. We use money for vanity, pride, hubris most of the time. And those are the people that got it, and those are the people that don't got it. It's a mediocrity of love is what I call it. When the pedestrian mentality hits the pavement and we start thinking in terms of deserving and undeserving, and we start seeing what we would spend our money on and what we wouldn't, and how we would give and how we wouldn't give, and it better go to this, not to that, and all sorts of stuff. I never think of those things when I'm giving. Never. Never do I think this radio program that I'm giving to you, that I'm literally giving to you, how you're going to be affected by it and whether or not you deserve it. What did Jesus say? About that. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Your trees, your fruit that you grow in your life one way or the other, they don't ask who deserves what. An apple doesn't look at you and say, do you deserve to bite into me? Really? No. What have you done today to deserve biting into me and taking my life for your consumption? It doesn't work like that. Some people have large sums of money. I'm going to be very blunt with you now, Robert. Because it's their karma to have it, and it's going to screw up their life big time. And they don't see it as a cancer. I have seen it as a cancer in people's lives. You give them a lot of money, and it turns to ugliness really quick. And they do very ugly things with it, and it makes for more karma. And then there are those whose poverty is their cancer, and they live for that impoverished way of life, because they think they deserve it, and it's gratifying to them. Both are into gratification. Both. So they think, well, this is what I deserve. I don't deserve to have this, and I don't deserve to have that. I'm just a loser. And that genetics play into this. You know, your genetics with your mother, your father, and how you were raised plays into it. It all plays into it. Everything matters in our life. So you can live either way if you want and be confused and be all sorts of things. I have found, and I like doing this with my students. We'll have little get-togethers, you know, where we eat together and chit-chat. And I'm always, always aware. I listen to how they chit-chat. I listen to how they talk. When they think I'm not listening, or when they're just chit-chatting with me, thinking, well, this is off the record. Nothing's off the record with me, ever. And I hear them and their attitude. I hear that song and dance in the background that isn't very kind and very loving. I hear it. And then I know why they sit there and they have their counseling face and they have their spiritual face, but they never, never, never reveal this one side of them, this human side that they have inside, where they are reckless in their ambition and they have this ugly pride, or they have some kind of ugly prejudice that they're holding to. And that's the way they live. And these attitudes affect their dinero, how much dinero they have, how much they can afford to have within themselves emotionally and psychologically. Your money is love incarnate. And how you deal with your money as love is what either expands it or contracts it. And if you can think of money as love, Rich, not love deserved, not love undeserved, just love, And I'm not going to go into the unconditional thing because you can't talk about that with people. They're too ignorant to understand that. Just love. Then you understand. Love has no motive other than itself. And when money and love are attached together, they have no other motive but to themselves as service to humankind. Hard for people to understand. Really hard for them to understand. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God what is God's, as Jesus said. And that means everything that you render to Caesar must come from God in you. God is love. Period. I don't know if that helps you, Rich. When I'm talking about money, I'm in another planet with most people, and it doesn't seem to resonate very well with them, but I hope it does with you. And please forgive me. Namaste. What a great question. See, sometimes I get these marvelous questions, and I don't really care about the subject. I care about the question itself, and then it really excites me because you're always looking as a teacher for the person to ask the question that will help everyone else. That's really what you're looking for. Last question. You cannot serve God and mammon, according to what Jesus said. What does that mean, Kathy? God is the mammon. And when you put the two together, then you have it. But if you separate them and you make God the moral law of your life, a God that you know nothing about, you've only been taught to be God-fearing, to be God-damned, if you understand what I mean, you'll never be able to put the two together. What Jesus meant when he talked about you cannot serve God and mammon, he was saying, and he tried to understand this, his language was very small. You cannot be totally devoted to mammon. You can't. And if you're totally devoted to God, you're devoted to the idea of a God that doesn't want you to have the mammon, the money. So you look at it, and then you hear Jesus saying, and all these things you shall have, and they shall be added unto you. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven, he said. So you see all this stuff, and you go, what the hell is he talking about? Once time he says this, next time he says that, all masters speak out of both sides of their mouth. You've got to be very, very aware. You cannot hold them to their words. You have to hold yourself to the meaning. Don't separate the two. I'm going to make it really simple. Don't separate the two. That's really easy to understand. Make money love. Let it be love. I see it as love. I don't see it as payment to people. I know what people need. Somebody comes and helps me. They're a stranger. I thank them. I give them money. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. It is the money that I'm giving them that is going to seep into their life and serve the cause of their living in a more loving way because I sent that money as love to them. Now, what they do with it is up to them. But don't make money a moral issue, which most people do. When you make money a moral issue, that is when you fall into the trap. You make things really ugly that way. And when you make things ugly in that manner, you have dissipated the power of money to do great good in people's lives. Always see money as the opportunity to do a great good in people's lives. If you can do that, if you can live by that, if you can awaken to that, you will have awakened to the very meaning of your own living. And beauty will follow you. Your money will be your karma. And you will be able to share that karma, that love, that sacredness with everyone. Spread it around. Open it up. Be forgiving and giving. Be kind. Be compassionate. Don't make it God or Mammon. Put them together. God is love, not a dictator. God is love. Put money into love. Put love into money. And you share it. You give it without consequence of fear and anger. And all of a sudden, the consequence of your giving turns into something beautiful. There is nothing like serving humankind through money. It helps so many people in so many different ways. And what is more important is how it leaves your hand. If it leaves it in love, that is the key. Kathy, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. If you ever have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you in, please, in this website at aspire.org, come take a look. At the top of the page, you will see contact. Just contact me, send me an email, let me know what I may do to be of service to you. I hope this all helped you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. See you next week, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.